is outstanding, and that is ever.
The Mesquite Rodeo in Mesquite, Texas has been an integral part of the rodeo world since 1958. In celebration of Journeys of Discovery's 35th anniversary producing on-air travel broadcasts, we share one of the show's most popular installments, recorded live at the Mesquite Rodeo back in the spring of 1998. We'll meet up with bullfighter clowns and an up-and-coming bull rider from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
We have the pleasure of being at the Mesquite Rodeo with John Painter. Hi, John. How are you?
Fine, Tom. How are you?
Great. Tell us what your position is here.
Tom, I'm the PR director for the Mesquite Rodeo here, just 15 minutes from downtown Dallas.
Mm-hmm. How long has the Mesquite Rodeo been here?
We are in the second weekend here in April. Mesquite Rodeo's 40th season. Mm-hmm. Not my 40th season at the rodeo. I've been with the rodeo since 1979. We've just begun the 40th season. Probably one of the better known rodeos in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's probably due to the fact that it's here in Dallas, and we have a show, our nationally televised show on TNN, and we get a lot of domestic and foreign press and a lot of visitors. It's interesting, the people you meet here.
How often are you on TNN?
If you include the reruns, we're probably on almost weekly. I believe they tell us the show goes out to about 1.5 million households each time it runs. You'd be amazed, the power of radio and TV. It's one of our bulls, his name is Cowabunga, and he's sort of a pet. We grow attached to some of these bulls, and he likes to be petted and scratched behind those chutes. You know, he's in his own private pen. He doesn't like other bulls. However, he likes to have his back scratched, and particularly behind his ears. After the bull ride, in which he normally discards the bull rider, he takes a victory lap around the arena. Well, all these things are brought out in our show on TNN, and so the bull receives fan mail. Oh yeah, I received a call from a grandfather in California, and he wanted a photo of Cowabunga, this 1,900-pound bull, for his grandson, preferably autographed.
Tell us the way the rodeo works. Is there a similarity to like NFL, or in that you have ongoing playoffs between the different characters? There's a circuit. How does it work?
Yeah, there's a circuit. This rodeo, as are many of the primary rodeos in the country, are on the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association circuit. We call it the PRCA, and that's the NFL of pro rodeo. And this rodeo is on the circuit. Therefore, we'll attract all the top cowboys in the country. And because we hold rodeos 6 months out of the year, we have local cowboys as well as the guys who travel year-round. And the money they win here will entitle them to qualify for the National Finals Rodeo, the NFR, a pro rodeo, in Las Vegas in December.
So do you have a Mesquite homeboy hero?
Through the years, there have been several notable cowboys who have grown up in Mesquite. I suppose one of the more notable cowboys happens to be one of the hosts of the show on TNN, Don Gay. Donnie's dad, Neil Gay, is one of six founders of the Mesquite Rodeo in May of 1958. And Don's the all-time bull riding champ. And so, you know, he's pretty well known.
As we both know, riding a bull is not a safe and friendly job.
I tell you, I got on one bull in 1981 just so I knew what it was like. And it was a school bull. Donnie was holding a school, and you don't want to put bulls out there that's going to hurt anybody. So we had a journalist among the students, and Neil Gay put the journalist on a bull with horns. He put me on a bull that didn't have horns, a smaller bull. Looked like a pygmy bull, you know, a small pig. But I got bucked off immediately. The power between the legs, just immense power, even for a small bull like that. It was something I'll never forget. I could hardly sleep the night before.
You were mentioning earlier about clowns, and in the past I've watched the clowns, and that's a job that I wouldn't want. I'd probably just as soon ride a bull as be a clown on the ground. These guys are what you called the unsung heroes, right?
You know, I admit I'm a fan of what you call the bullfighter clowns, as well as the barrel men. The bullfighter clowns are those who whose primary job is to distract the bull's attention away from the downed bull rider. And so they present themselves as a target. And then once the bull rider is safe, here we have excitement. They almost like play tag with the bull or bullfighting. without the sword. They only use themselves and without a cape. So it's pretty exciting, and they have to be quite skilled, quite athletically gifted, and quite frankly, they do follow a different drummer.
We had a clown that walked by us a few minutes ago, and he's no spring chicken either.
No, that was Frank McElvain Sr., who is a regular at the Mesquite Rodeo. He's been associated with the Mesquite Rodeo since 1959, you know, a year after the rodeo was founded, and he's probably very well known because he is on the show quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He used to fight bulls, as they say in the trade, and now he's the barrel man. But that doesn't go without injury or risk of injury because they can step inside that barrel, they get their horns inside that barrel. And when you have 1,800, 2,000 pounds of bull coming down on you, you know, something's going to give. It's not going to be the bull.
For the listener who has not been to a rodeo, explain the function of the barrel man.
Well, the barrel man is there to provide a haven for the bull rider should he need it. There are techniques in what they call fighting bulls, and one is to draw the bull to the barrel and to bump the barrel. Here again, this is entertainment. This is a stage. It's just a different type of a sport, different type of event, and the ground is different. But it's there as a haven as well as a piece of entertainment for the crowd.
Could we talk to one of the riders and maybe one of the clowns as well?
You bet. Yeah, I'll see if I can get you one of the... Frank, come here. You have a minute? Yeah, I want you to meet Frank McElvain. He's the
Hi,
man
Frank.
In the barrel.
How are you, sir?
So you're the barrel man, huh?
I'm the barrel man.
How long you been with Mesquite Rodeo?
This is my 39th year.
Still come back for more abuse, huh?
Come back for more abuse.
Uh-huh. Have you done pretty much everything here, or did you start out as a rider? Or?
I started out riding bareback horses and then started clowning, fighting bulls on my feet and wanted to stay with it, so I started working the barrel and been there ever since.
So is this your day job?
No, I'll shoe horses and make saddles and do all that stuff during the day.
So what's the most exciting part of being out there today for you? What do you enjoy the most?
Yeah, bull riding, uh-huh. You bet.
Yeah. Great. So do you go on the circuit or are you here most of the time?
No, I just stay here pretty much now. Uh-huh. I got a barn, I board horses, and it's hard for me to get away.
Uh-huh. So you're on break right now?
You bet.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's great talking with
y'all
you.
Y'all have a good evening.
We will. Thanks.
If you're interested in talking to a bull rider, I have here Paul Hickson, who tonight has drawn probably one of the better-known bulls in the country, or certainly on the professional rodeo circuit, Dodge Dakota. Paul is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. If he successfully rides this bull later on in the rodeo for 8 seconds, he'll win a $10,500 bonus on Dodge Dakota.
Paul, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. How long you been riding?
I've been riding bulls about 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I was real young, and I just got addicted to it, kind of, and kept at it.
How'd you get into it? Was your dad involved, or?
No, I had an older brother I can blame for that. Uh-huh. My parents probably blamed him for it, too, but, you know, it's not a thing that was passed down from the family. It was something I picked up when I was younger, and I think it helped keep me out of trouble, and it gave me something to do, kind of a direction to take, and it's worked out real good for me.
You've been on the circuit every year now, or?
Well, this is the third year I've been on the PRCA circuit. I don't rodeo full-time. I still have a full-time job, so, you know, I work during the week, and then I rodeo on the weekends, and then I practice during the week, you know, every chance I get. So it's kind of like the, you know, repetition is the mother of all skill, so the more you do it, the better you get, and I just try to get as good as I can, and hopefully one day I'll be able to, you know, go full time and make a living doing this.
In addition to practicing by riding, do you exercise? Are there any specific workouts or things that you do to keep good muscle tone and good condition?
Oh, yeah, I think that's very necessary to keep your body in good shape. Lift weights lightly, you know, not to get big because your size can work against you, but to stay strong. And I guess the endurance factor of working out. And then I also run, and I have a Nordic track ski machine, you know, and that sort of stuff for aerobic. Keep your wind in you. You know, 8 seconds doesn't sound like a long time, but there's a lot going on in that short amount of time.
Well, yeah, 2 seconds looks like a long time to me out there. You've been injured, I presume, and that's probably an annual event with you. I mean, it seems inevitable that just landing wrong, putting your arm out, something, you're going to get hurt. I mean, that's, you pay a price, don't you?
Yeah, you get banged up, you know. Serious injuries, I try to avoid them. You know, Larry Mahan made the statement one time that if you're in a bad spot, you know, if you get off, you've still got another one to go to. I've kind of lived by that. I've been injured. You know, I broke my arm, you know, just probably the only bone I've ever broken in the length of time that I've been riding. You sure, you get banged up, scratched up, bruised up, you know, it's just part of it. If you can't take that, then you might as well not even show up.
Yeah. How old are you now?
I'm 32 now.
And how long do you imagine you might be a contender in the circuit?
Well, as long as I'm in good shape, healthy, and still winning, I don't see an end. You know, guys that's ridden until they were in their mid to late 50s, you know. Yeah. But, you know, the factor is, you know, as long as you're healthy, I'm not going to push myself beyond my limit. So, and I think each individual has to make up their mind what their own limit is.
Name of your bull again tonight?
That's Dodge Dakota.
And is that your bull that you bring here, or how does that work?
Okay, you call into the central entry office in Colorado Springs, and the bulls are owned by Mesquite Rodeo Company. They draw them randomly by computer, and they just happen to match me up with this particular bull. So
it's a luck of the draw, literally, then.
Exactly, yeah. That's half of winning is, you know, luck of the draw. Mm-hmm. The other half is mental, I think, and then there's a small part that's physical, but mm-hmm. I think the mental battle and the luck of the draw is probably the two main factors in winning.
That's interesting. So you can have all the physical characteristics, but you don't have the mindset, you're a loser.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's like a halfback, you know, in football. You know, there's how many guys that can run a 40-yard dash in 4.2 or 4.5, but how many of them win a Heisman Trophy? It's kind of the same principle, you know. I think it's all in your mindset and how do you perceive things.
Do you visualize any one specific thing that you try and focus on before and during?
I try to visualize just my basic moves. You know, you can ride the rankest bull or the weakest bull with the same basic moves. It's just a matter of to what extreme that you use those. Yeah, I kind of go over everything in my mind. I try to ride this bull in my mind. That way I can kind of get myself prepared. And this bull he's a real good bull. You know, he really bucks, and I'm going to have to be on top of my game in order to get by him.
How much chance do you get to practice on the bull that you're given?
No, you don't.
None. That's your first shot.
Yeah, it's the first time I've been on him. And every bull's different. They're kind of like people. All of them have different characteristics. And, you know, you can kind of see their pattern. This bull's been around a while. He's kind of got a pattern to him, and I'm vaguely familiar with it, but I think if you study too much, then you start setting traps, and then you buck yourself off. You know, not the bull. The bull just kind of lets you set yourself up because they get smart. They really do.
Now, why is it that you were picked to get the $10,000 bonus for the 8 second or plus?
Well, that was done, like I said, with the draw. You know, that particular bull had the bounty on him.
Oh, okay. So
if I buck off, it goes up to 11,000 next week. Uh-huh. And it keeps growing until somebody rides him. I think the highest one they've had here was 27,500. And the same year I had a shot at that bull at 22,500, I rode him about 7 seconds and he bucked me off. I was disappointed that I didn't win, but on the other hand, I was glad to have the opportunity to at least try, because there's a lot of these guys that don't even have that opportunity. And I felt real fortunate just to have that.
Now, does every rider get paid something for showing up and riding? How does it work? How do you wind up winning something and incrementally more?
Okay, they pay the top four places here, like the top four scores. If you're not in the top four at this particular rodeo, then you don't win anything. Pay your own expenses.
You had to pay a fee too, right?
You pay your own entry fee, you pay your own expenses.
How much is a fee on average?
This one's 50. It's one of the lower entry fees. Uh-huh. But there are some that go up to 500.
So it could be an expensive job then.
Yeah, if you're not winning, then you stay close to home. You don't have the money to get very far.
The national rodeo contenders in the world, how much do they get paid? What do the top guys earn a year?
Well, they actually don't get paid. They actually they win.
Right.
You know, they
in
earn.
Winnings, yeah.
Oh, anywhere from the top 15 usually range from about 70 to up to 125, 130,000 after the national finals. Now, keep in mind the national finals pays. It's either $11,000 or $12,000 a go-around, and there's 10 go-arounds, so it adds up pretty fast there. But they still got to win there, too. It's not any different than any other rodeo. It's just it's like the top of the stock and the top of the cowboys compete against each other there.
Maybe they wind up getting a contract with Justice Boots.
There's a few, like Ty Murray, Tuff Edom, are probably the most well-named cowboys, you know, most known. And they have corporate sponsors that, you know, they help them with their expenses and their entry fees and that sort of stuff. And it really makes a difference. They have the opportunity to compete at more rodeos than anybody else because of the you know, they do it full time and they have the free time to go, and that's their job.
It's kind of a catch-22 to a point. If somebody could finance you, you could be more serious about it. Then you didn't have to work a regular job from your end, right?
Oh, yeah, I'd be gone all the time. I hate to say it, but my wife, she did have to go with me, or, you know, that probably wouldn't work out, but, you know, I'd rather take her with me.
Paul Hickson from Tulsa, Oklahoma, it has been a pleasure talking with you. It's really great. I've enjoyed this.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We've been talking with Paul Hickson, one of the riders at the Mesquite Rodeo. Tom Wilmer reporting from Mesquite, Texas.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
That rope around the midsection of the bull, Florida tight, wrap the loose end around the man, and...